Is everybody awake? Okay. I want everybody to take a piece of paper. Would you take one and pass it so that everybody has one? Please. Plain old piece of paper. Pass it down. What's that? No, we're not going to draw. We're going to do something different. Just a plain piece of paper. You got an extra? Thank you. Okay, now I want you to take that paper and crumple it up. Crumple it really tight. Have at it. You too. That's great. I needed a demonstrator. Crumple it as tight as you can. Stand up and stomp on it. Stand up and stomp on it. Make it just really, really. There you go. Okay. All right. That's good. You got that one really crunched up?
Yeah.
Okay. Now sit back down. Okay. Now smooth it out. Smooth it out as smooth as you can make it. Do all you can to smooth it out really flat and straight. That's right. Work on it. That's right, Rupp. She's got a good idea. Do all you can to make it as smooth as you can. All right. There we go. That's right. Press it out. Okay. I got an idea. Let me see yours a minute. Let's try. Is it fixed? Huh? No? Is it like it was when I first gave it to you?
No.
Not even close, right? Okay. I have an idea. Say you're sorry. Did that fix it? Say it like you mean it. Say it like you really mean it this time. I'm so sorry. Did that fix it? Not even close. It's still a horrible, marred mess, right? So what did make it better than it was when it was all crumpled in a ball? What, honey?
Tell me, what made it better? Did Sandra and Sarah make it better?
No.
Smoothing it out helped, right?
Smoothing it out helped. That did more than anything, more than saying you're sorry, smoothing it out. So actions, you got what? Oh, you got a hole in it. Boy, you really crumpled yours, messed yours up, didn't you? That's okay. It's all right. The point is that doing something, the action that you took of smoothing it out, did more than just talking to it, right? But the paper's never going to be the same again, is it? Not like it was when I gave it to you, right? Never going to be the same. So what can we do to keep this paper from getting messed up like it is? Or what could we have done? Got any ideas? Maybe if we didn't crumple it up in the first place, huh? That would have kept it straight. That would have kept it flat if we hadn't crumpled it up in the first place. But I know I told you to do that. Okay. So the same thing goes with our relationships with other people. You know, if you're mean to someone or say something bad to them or call them a name or even hurt them physically, it's like crumpling them into a ball. And you can apologize. And you can give them a hug, which is doing something, and maybe helping them up off the ground if you knock them down or something. But whenever they see you, they're always going to remember what you did, right? So the best thing is to not do anything like that in the first place, right? Right? Then you don't make them crumpled, right? In the Bible, there's what's called the Golden Rule. Have you ever heard about the Golden Rule? Anybody ever told you about the Golden Rule? Well, it's real simple. It says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Treat people the way you want to be treated. Right? It's a good golden rule, a good rule to live by. And maybe this piece of crumpled paper will help you remember that. All right? Let's say a prayer. Will you all repeat after me? Dear God, thank you for the golden rule. Please help us always to remember, not to crumple others. Amen. Thank you all. You want to give me your paper? You don't want that paper, do you? I'll take it. Thank you. Thank you. You can keep it. Sure, you can keep it. You want? Okay, here. Have your crumpled paper. There you go. Then you can remember how to treat other people, right? You don't want to crumple anybody. Thank you. See you next time.
Good morning.
The Old Testament reading is coming from Joshua chapter 5, verses 9 through 13, and can be found on page 197. The Lord said to Joshua, "Today I have rolled away from you the disgrace of Egypt, and so that place called Galgay to this day. While the Israelites were camped in Galgay, they kept the Passover in the evening on the 14th day of the month, and in the plains of Jericho. On the day after the Passover, on that very day, they ate the produce of the land, unleaved cakes and parched grain. The manna ceased on the day they ate the produce of the land, and the Israelites no longer had manna, and they ate the crops of the land of Canaan that year." The New Testament reading is coming from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 through 21, and can be found on page 181. "From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ, since God is making his appeal through us. We entrusted you on behalf of Christ. Be reconciled to God. For our sake he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Lord, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart and my mind be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. Amen. Well, when we pray today, and we prayed the Lord's Prayer, we said, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive others, those that have trespassed against us. See, when the word forgive is when we're no longer going to hold them accountable for that act. In other words, we're not going to make them pay us back for that. We forgive them. Now, the impossible thing for us, the thing that you and I can't do, the thing you and I must call on God to help us do, is, yes, not hold whatever they've done against us, against them, to forgive it, but then to move on without holding that in the back of our mind and always remembering, you know, that Air Force guy. I forgive you. I love you, Bob. Yeah. That went way different than I had thought it would. But forgive is a pretty high standard. Because we forgive, but we don't forget. Jesus does not forget the things that have happened. He doesn't forget what someone else has done that's wrong. They're remembered. The difference with forgiving is you no longer hold them liable for the penalty for what they did. When a judge or a governor commutes a sentence, that doesn't say that the person was innocent of the crime. They did the crime. They're doing the time. What the governor is doing is saying no mas. He's saying no more. No more penalty. The penalty is no longer held against you. So when you and I forgive someone, there's that tendency to, I'm waiting for the opportunity for payback. Now, when you forgive, and that's what we're called to do. Because what happens? If you don't forgive, that is going to eat at you because you're looking for a time that you can pay the person back. Can you move forward if you're sitting there living in the past all the time? No. You can get on with your life, but if you're carrying that seed of anger, that seed of, I've got to get back at them, then you're not moving forward, really. What Paul's telling us in this second letter to the Corinthians is how God is not going to hold our sins against us. God forgives us. But there's one other piece. It's a term called reconciliation. See, I can forgive someone and not hold them accountable. But reconciling is when the two people come together. And if you were here at our Bible study Thursday, you would have gotten a better definition of reconciliation. So that's a plug for Thursday at 2 o'clock, finishing session 4 and session 5 of our Bible study with John Ortberg. But reconciliation is when both parties, the wronged party and the party that has committed the wrong, come together and agree. Intentionally agree to let that pass. To be reconciled. So what Paul is telling us is that God wants us to be reconciled to us. And He wants us to be reconciled to Him so strongly that He's willing to take on flesh, Jesus Christ, to be a human just like you and I, to stand in for humanity and allow that reconciliation to occur, where both God and man agree that we're not going to hold that against us and that we're going to move forward. That's reconciliation. Now, what Paul's doing is he's telling the people of Corinth that they need to be not just forgivers, but they need to be reconcilers. From now on, verse 16, therefore we regard no one from a human point of view, because we take on Christ Jesus. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we know Him no longer in that way. Why? Because He died on the cross, He was buried, and He ascended into heaven, and He's coming back, and the Holy Spirit is here with us. Our relationship with Jesus Christ changed 2,000 years ago. Our relationship with God changed 2,000 years ago. And it was through that man, Jesus Christ, who is the Word made flesh, dwelling among us, holy man and holy God. So if anyone is in Christ, there's a new creation. Everything old has passed away. Everything has become new. Because of Jesus Christ, we're no longer that sin-filled, sin-sick human being. Through Christ Jesus, we are transformed. Through our baptism, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we are transformed into something that we couldn't have ever been on our own. All this is from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. See, we're not supposed to just say, I forgive you. We're supposed to be reconciled. So it's one step beyond that. That's where we mutually agree to not hold that against us, each other. Now, that's a pretty tough thing for an Air Force guy to reconcile to a Navy guy. But I know Bob can do it. Through the power of Jesus Christ. I got a scripture verse I want you to remember. Philippians 4:13. I want you to write it down. Philippians 4:13. Because, Bob, you and I probably could never reconcile to each other. Air Force and Navy, that's just too far. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Because it's not just me who's doing it. That's too heavy a load. But with Christ Jesus, all things are possible. I can do even that. I mean, I'm making humorous there. But in the seriousness of it, Philippians 4:13, another letter by Paul, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. See, because all this from God who reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ and has given us that ministry of reconciliation. That us that He's talking about is not just Himself personally as Paul, the apostle, but you and me. Every one of us who call Jesus Christ Lord, we're to be reconcilers. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And He was entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. Not only does He do that, but He makes us ambassadors. He empowers us to be representatives of the kingdom of God to the rest of the world. When Wayne goes to these places and does this stuff, this isn't Wayne Keating just showing up and says, oh, by the power vested in me by whatever organization, I'm going to fix everything. It's by that power of Christ Jesus that we go and do anything. The gifts and talents that we have, the powers that we have, the skills, spiritual as well as natural gifts, right? Alex? That was our lesson today in Bible study, spiritual and natural gifts. Bless you. So this spiritual gift that we get, this is a gift given by God for a purpose. It's the common good. All of the spiritual gifts, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 11, all of those spiritual gifts are given for a purpose by the same God, the same Lord, the same Creator, and that we're to share all of them together. So we're ambassadors for Christ, since God is making His appeal through us. That's through Bob and through me. We entreat you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. To be made right-wise. Not self-righteous, but right-wise. In other words, be in a position where on judgment day you're able to confidently come into the presence of Jesus Christ, the Creator, with the hope and anticipation, the confidence of waiting to hear, "Well met, good and faithful servant." We all know too many who are already there, who have already heard it. We can only anticipate with our hope and our fervent prayer that we'll be there one day and we'll hear the same thing. But because we're empowered not just by our own natural talents, but by spiritual gifts. Alex? Elijah? For our sake, He made Him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. See, nothing is done without Him. There's no power on earth that's not His. I mean, we want to hook up to solar power. Well, He created the sun. We want to hook up to wind power. He created the winds. We want to hook up to nuclear power. You know, this is the weirdest thing. Anybody in here a nuclear scientist? Good. So I can explain this on a level that's not going to make you laugh. You know, there's these little things called atoms that everything is made up of. And there are some of these atoms that actually, when you bombard them with certain parts from another atom, they give off energy, they give off heat. And that heat can be controlled and used to boil water. And that water can be used to turn turbines. And that's on a molecular structure. Who created the molecules? Who created all of that? God. Who gave man the reason and intellect to figure out how to make that work? Might be the guy who created it all. Understanding the creation allows us to understand how marvelous and wonderful that Creator is. And you know what? He has empowered you, Alyssa, you, Adriella, you, Maya, you, Isaiah, and you, Noah, with this wonderful power, and even Elijah and Alex. He's empowered you with the same Holy Spirit. It is for you to make a choice to follow Him, to be an ambassador of Jesus Christ. Why? Because we want to feel important? No. Because we want everyone to know the power of Jesus Christ. We want to know that they're forgiven. And more than forgiven, their relationship with God the Creator has been reconciled. Because Jesus Christ is in you through the power of God reconciling humanity, you and me, to the Creator of heaven and earth. Now that's a job. And it's not mission impossible. It's mission possible. Shalom.